Now we come in verse 40 to the fourth kingdom. And I want to reiterate again, there does not happen to be a fifth kingdom, just four. That's important to keep in mind. Verse 40, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." Now verse 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not adhere one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now that's a remarkable passage of Scripture. First of all, let me say that more attention is directed to this fourth kingdom than the other three kingdoms put together. Four verses are used here to describe it and to interpret it by Daniel, whereas two of the kingdoms, the Medo-Persian and the Greco-Macedonian, only one verse describes it. That's verse 39. "And the fourth kingdom is the kingdom of the latter days." And you remember, that is exactly what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that the image was all about. He says, "The God in heaven, the living God, that you know nothing about." This man Nebuchadnezzar worshiped that which he could see, idols. Babylon has been called the fountainhead of idolatry. And God is speaking to him through an image, but it's an image not to be worshipped, by the way. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. In other words, that was the thinking of this man Nebuchadnezzar. Here he is, a world ruler. Where's this thing going to end? And friends, we're still living in this period, I think, of the latter days, and that's still a vital question today. How in the world is this thing going to end? I have a message on this subject. What's this world coming to? And that is a message that you could write in and ask for. That is, if you want to have part in this radio ministry, that's the only way I can send out books, by the way. So that here we have, what is this world coming to? It's a very pertinent question in this day in which we're living. There's something else that I'd like to call attention to now. I want us to stand off and look at this image. It's awe-inspiring, tremendous size. I think it towered over the entire plain of Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar saw it in his vision. And it's a multi-metallic image. It has a head of gold. That speaks of Babylon. This man Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art the head of gold." And the breast and arms are of silver, Medo-Persian. Brass is the Greco-Macedonians. That is the sides of it. And then the legs are of iron, and that's Rome. Now there is inserted clay into the iron, and that's the last form of the Roman Empire, by the way. Now, all you have here are four empires. Now, there are several observations that I want to make about this image. There is, first of all, definite deterioration from one kingdom to another. And it's made very clear in, I think, here several very specific ways. And I must add this, that this is contrary to modern philosophy, to modern opinion. There is a viewpoint today that we're all getting better and better every day, and that evolution is working, and my, it's onward and upward forever, and that our form of government is the best form of government, which it's not, and that actually today we're a superior people, and we are not, but that's the way we're being taught today. You know, the human race has always loved to pat itself on the back and say, like little Tommy Tucker, it was little Tommy Tucker, or some little fella. He sat in the corner, and he reached into the pie he was eating, and he stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum, and he said, "What a smart boy am I. There's a lot of folk running around like little Tommy Tucker." And I'm not sure it was little Tommy Tucker that did that, but it's one of the little fellas that was in Mother Goose. May I say to you that you have here deterioration, one kingdom after another, and each one is inferior to the one before it. Now, that is revealed, first of all, in the quality of the metals. Gold is finer than silver, and silver is finer than brass. And actually, brass is finer than iron, and iron is better than clay, although it's mixed with it, so that there's definite deterioration. Then here is something that Trigellius called attention to years ago. He was a great scholar, and that is the specific gravity of the metals. Those of you who've studied chemistry now know about this, that each metal shows deterioration. Trigellius is the one calls attention to that, of the specific gravity of the metals. And then the third thing that reveals deterioration is the position of each metal. The head has more honor than the feet have. I'm sure that we'd all agree to that. Then the fourth is the very specific statement of Scripture here. For instance, we had told to us here in verse 39, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom," and that is to be inferior again. So that the statement of Scripture, it's very clearly stated here, that each kingdom is inferior to the one before it. Now, the fifth thing that I would have you observe is the division of sovereignty. And that's important to see. There is a definite division of sovereignty that denotes weakness. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, but there are two arms of the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Babylonian Empire was stronger because there was not that division, that bifurcation in the empire. And the Greco-Macedonian Empire begins with one, but it's soon divided into four. And Rome has two legs of iron, but it eventuates into 10 toes that are composed of both iron and clay. So that there is here a division of sovereignty. And I heard one of these movie stars in one of these interview programs, talk program, and I'm convinced that they talk too much, but maybe all of us do for that matter, but this party made the statement. She says, "I believe in democracy." Well, I don't, friends. I believe in our form of government, and our form of government is actually not a democracy. It is a representative form of government. They don't ask me to come up to Washington to make any decision. There are a lot of people that have been going to Washington telling them how to do, and I think somebody needs to tell them, but the folk that are telling them are the wrong people. That doesn't mean I'm the one to go up there, because I think I would make as big a fool of myself as some of them have made of themselves. And it's quite interesting, these bleeding hearts that were running around, you remember, talking about we should stop the bombing and that we should bring our boys home. And I never heard one of those fellas have anything to say concerning those bleeding hearts. They actually said they were hurting them. Several statements have been made that those people actually were on the side of the enemy. So that, very frankly, I'm of the opinion that a democracy is not really the best form of government. And you know what God's form of government's going to be? Just exactly like that of the head of gold. Only this time it's that rock that's cut out without hands. And that one is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to reign over this earth, and he's not going to ask anybody's advice about how to do it. He'll not have a Congress, and he'll not have a cabinet, and he'll not be calling upon you to vote for him. If you don't make a decision for him, my friend, you just won't be there, that's all. And now don't rebel against that, because this happens to be his world. He created it. What did you and I ever do? We're just, you know, little pygmies running around down here. And God has as much right to remove you or me from this little world as I have to remove those ants that get into my house and to get into my yard. I put out poison for those fellas. I want to get rid of them. Why? Because they don't fit into my program. Well, I want to tell you there are a lot of us are not fitting into God's program. This is his world. He's going to make it to suit himself. And my friend, I don't care what you think or what I think. It's going to be what he thinks. And that's the thing that's important. And his form of government is going to be, I think, one of the most strict form of governments the world has ever seen. I don't think a rooster's going to crow in that day, doesn't get his permission. You talk about a dictator. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a dictator. And my friend, if you're not willing to bow to him, I don't think you'd even want to be in his kingdom when he establishes it here upon this earth. And maybe it's a good thing he's got another place for the folk like that, because it wouldn't be nice for them to be here. And I don't think they'd enjoy it at all. God's form of government is absolute ruler of a king. May I say to you, the sovereignty of one ruler, and it's going to be dictatorial, and his will is going to prevail. That's the reason that it's well to practice up today, bowing to him, friends, and acknowledging him, because of the fact he's going to take over one of these days. Now, will you notice something else? That from the head of gold to the 10 toes of iron and the silicon, there is marked deterioration. Now, I'm coming back to all of this in chapter 7, and I'm not giving specifics concerning each one of these kingdoms. But when we get to chapter 7, I will be dealing with specifics. And at that time, we're going into a great deal of detail, because there, the 4 wild beasts that Daniel saw in his dream cover the same period, the same kingdoms, and a great deal more was given to Daniel than was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, there is something else I'd call your attention to here before we move on. No great world power follows Rome. The Roman Empire is the last, and it will be in existence in the latter days. Actually, it exists today. You see, all of these other empires were destroyed by an enemy on the outside. But no enemy destroyed Rome. Attila the Hun came in, sacked the city, but he was so awestruck by what he saw, and he realized he couldn't handle it. He took his barbarians and left town, and no enemy destroyed it. The Roman Empire fell apart, and you have actually Rome living in the great nations of Europe today. Italy, I'm sure, is one of them. Rome is there, of course. I'm sure France is part of it. Great Britain must be. Germany, Spain, that is the old Roman Empire. It just fell apart. And the laws of Rome live on, actually the language. Nobody's speaking Latin, but Latin does help you to understand French and Spanish, and I'm told it helps with these other languages, that it's very important. The laws of Rome live on in these different nations, and the spirit, the warlike spirit, for Europe has been at war ever since it broke up into these kingdoms. Now, what's happening today? There is actually a new psychological viewpoint taking place in Europe. They tell me young people today, many of them in France and in Italy, they don't like to be called Italians or French or German. They like to be called Europeans. May I say to you, that's creating a basis, because one of these days there's coming along a man, and he's known in scriptures, the man of sin or the Antichrist. He's going to put that back together again. Now, they're trying to do it today. They have a common market, and I'm sure that they're well along in doing this. But not until God takes down the roadblock will that man appear, because he's Satan's man, and God won't let him appear till he calls out his people to his name, and when he does, he'll remove his church. God's carrying on his program today, friends, whether it looks like it or not. And therefore, we find here, there will come one who'll put that Roman Empire back together again. That's the reason I never speak of the resurrection of the Roman Empire. That implies it died. It never did die. I like to go to the nursery and pick up something else. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's men and all the king's horses just can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But you see, it fell apart like Humpty Dumpty. And there have been a lot that have tried to put it back together again, but they haven't succeeded. That was one of the missions of the Roman Catholic Church at the beginning. And you find Charlemagne attempted to put it back together again, and he didn't succeed. And you find Napoleon attempted it, and several emperors of Germany. Hitler attempted, Mussolini attempted it, but so far the man has not yet appeared. I think de Gaulle actually had that in mind, but he didn't get very far with it. God's not quite ready for that one to appear.